Good morning, everybody. Well, let me welcome you to Greer Alton Church. My name's Tim, and I'm one of the fill-in guys now, and it's been nice. I have to admit, I'm getting a lot of other things done because of that. Ladies, welcome back after a great retreat on talking about playing the fool, and I hope that that was a great weekend. I got to set up the stage and tried to imagine what it must have been like for the weekend, and Denise has filled me in and somewhat, and what a great set of ladies we've got that shared their faith and shared their lives together this weekend. So kudos to all you ladies that helped put it together and make it such a wonderful experience. You've got some notes in your bulletin. You can pull them out. We're going to be looking at some things. We're in this series called This is the Church. Remember when you were a kid? This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the door. And here's the people, you hope? Yeah. I remember as a kid, or the church I was going to, there were a lot of fighting going on, a little infighting, and I would wiggle the fingers, and here they go, you know. So I don't know what your version is of this, but what is the church? And we've been looking at this now for several weeks, and today we're going to be looking at the church as like a building, not this building. This building, made of people, living stones. I was looking at buildings and just Googling famous buildings, and there's all kinds of them. And some of them are named after the designer or the builder, so to speak. And the reason they are named after them is because they capture maybe the values of that designer, or they're wanting to make a statement with this building. There's Frank Lloyd Wright's work. There's one up in Springfield. I remember going through that house, and where he combines nature along with modern architecture. It's called organic architecture, and he's famous for those lines and those wonderful works of construction. Gustav Eiffel built the Eiffel Tower, and it's named after him, of course. And because he was trying to make a statement in France, there in the middle of Paris, he was trying to say, this is what, as a nation, the country of France, we want to connect together like all these pieces. There's a gob of pieces to this tower. And it's made in such a way to show the power of connection and creativity. And it has a beacon of light beckoning the world to come to the epicenter of artistic expression. So we see this over and over again. Well, Jesus, we've been looking at all these things that the church is. Jesus is into buildings too. Did you know that? He's into that as well. In fact, the church that he's building makes a statement. It reveals and reflects Jesus. The church he wants to build reveals and reflects what matters to him, reveals his character, who he is, what matters to him, and how it should function. One time Jesus was with his disciples, and he was just asking, who do people say I am? And some people said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Oh, yeah. And another guy says, or maybe Jeremiah or Elijah, or maybe one of the prophets. You might be one of the prophets. And then he asks this question, here in your notes and up here on the screen. But what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter speaks right up and says, well, you're the Christ. You're the real deal. You're the Messiah. And look at how the message captures the Lord's response. Jesus came back, God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you are, really are. You are Peter, a rock. And this is the rock on which I'll put my church together my church. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. I want you to notice that Jesus is saying here that he's putting his identity into what he's building. His very soul, his very identity is into what he's building. Like I said before, we've been looking at this series about what's the church compared to. Well, we know that the Bible compares the church to a body. It has a head. We respect the head of the body, Jesus Christ, and we all function differently, but together for the health and growth of the body. We've looked at the church. Mike talked about the church is like a family, that we belong to each other. And you know, you can might mess around with strangers, or people can talk about your neighbor, but don't you be talking about my family, because we're that tight. And that's what God, that's what Jesus wanted. Remember, didn't he pray, Father, may they be one as you and I are one? His very identity is in how we operate here. Alan talked about a nation, that we're the kingdom, that the church is described as a nation or a kingdom. And then Gary last week talked about the kingdom being like a flock with a shepherd. And here we see Jesus talking about a building. And of course, like I said, he's not talking about this building. You'll have people say, where do you go to church? Where's your church building? And you could easily, you say, well, it's down there. I always say it's across from the airliner bar. And I always get the same answer. Oh yeah, I know where that is now. I know what they say over there. Yeah, we're across that church. It looks, it's a domey thing. It's scary. I don't know if they do it that way or not. But I just think it's interesting that you could really say this. You could say, where's your church? Well, it's right in front of you. Because we are the living stones. We're the stones that build up the church. We're the rocks that Jesus wants to use. A lot of people take this passage here in Matthew 16 and they try to say that, you know, Peter was the first pope, that it was going to be built on Peter. Peter never got that idea. In fact, when you read the scripture, you find out the foundation of the church is built on the not only Jesus as the cornerstone, but the apostles as the foundation and the prophets. He was one of many. He was never to be the rock. Now, what's Jesus talking about here? Well, I think Peter kind of helps us understand. Because when we look at what Peter has to say, and he talks about this building idea more than any of the other disciples. For example, look at this. Here's what I think he understood what Jesus meant. As you come to him, he says in 1 Peter 2, the living stone. Would you circle the living stone? Rejected by humans, but chosen. Oh, circle chosen. By God and precious to him. Oh, circle precious. That's good. Notice the next two words. You also like living stones. He says, you're a living stone like Jesus is a stone that's building the church. You're a living stone that builds the church. Just like he said he was going to build the church on people like me or a rock. And by the way, Peter means little pebble. Peter became just one of many as he grew in his faith. His faith grew. That's what Jesus is building it on. Because are being built into a spiritual house. Isn't that interesting? To be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. It's interesting. He's saying you also are precious and chosen, just like Jesus, the living stone. You share something in common. Every believer shares something in common with Jesus. I am a living stone. You're a living stone. You believe in Jesus? That's what you are. And he says you've been chosen and you're precious to him. In other words, God needs you. He wants you to build his spiritual house, his church. He chooses every one of you. If I am not a part of building the church, it leaves a hole. You understand? You leave a hole. You say, well, I'm not that important. I'm not that. He chose you. You're valuable to him. He wants to use you. So why is this? Why is this idea of building the church compared to stones or living stones? How are stones used in construction? Well, look, I think from this passage we can learn this. Let me give these to you real quickly. Number one, Jesus chooses you to build a living church. He chooses me. He chooses every believer. The old state capitol up in Springfield's made of sandstone. The Lincoln Memorial's made of marble. I've been to Marble, Colorado, where that marble actually was pulled out of the ground and taken to Washington, D.C. Well, what's the church made of? It's made of living stones. Notice it's living stones to build not a dead church. Hello. Not a stale church. Hello, hello. One time we had somebody, I was telling someone this morning, we were over at the Mexican restaurant after church, and Nathan King and Tammy came visiting. And he goes, and we're all sitting around the table, and he goes, you know, Tim, I got to tell you something. I go, what's that? He goes, the church seems a little stale. I said, what? It seems a little stale. I go, it is? I said, hey, guys, ding, 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 what? The church is stale. And we all went, yippee! And he goes, no, I didn't mean it as a compliment. I meant it as a criticism. I go, you don't understand. You don't have any idea where we've come from. You see, you Google it, and there's 15 different uses for stale bread. We're still useful. We can still be used. He goes, Tim, I didn't mean it to go that way. I said, I'm just telling you, I'm excited. Guys, stale, 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 stale. I talked to him just a couple of weeks ago, and I go, I want you to know the stale church is, man, we're getting there. He goes, man, I wish you quit bringing that up. We're talking. And you know, yeah, we got some staleness, but oh, thank God, we're seeing that there's life in this church. I was talking to Gary Spurgeon yesterday. We're walking around the building. I go, what are you doing here? I'm here to clean the building. Right on, right on. I'm here to clean the building. I go, okay. You're motivated, man. And so we're out there walking around. I go, you know, and I said, Gary, he's asking me questions about stuff. And I go, you know, Gary, I don't know about all this, but I'll tell you something. You know what excites me about this church? What's that? All the stains on the carpet. What? I love the stains. Why? Because I know they're made by, a lot of them are made by children of the future. You say, well, I'm a clumsy old person. What about me? Do I count? You count too if you spilled. But I love that. I want you to know, I'm glad we have stains. It means that the building, I know a lot of places, guys, that have the carpet, not a stain on it, and the walls are pretty and no holes in it, nothing squeaking or rattling, but they're not very much alive. It's more like a mausoleum than it is a church. Thank God there's life. Thank God there's a living, because many of you, as living stones, are going, I'm taking the next step, Tim, so God can build. So that Jesus can build the church he wants, you see. Number two, Jesus chooses you and chooses you and I to build a strong and solid church. If there's anything about stones, they bring this idea of solid, don't they? And stability, security. That's why they're usually heavy rocks. Just last week, did you get to experience the wind? Even this week, blew my barbecue or my charcoal grill all the way across the deck, almost down the steps. And I'll tell you, it got kind of scary. Denise goes, she comes running down the steps, bless her heart. I got two apples and a bag of chips in case the tornado. Oh man, we'll be good. She goes, we got to be down here. I go, what do? Typical dumb guy. Outside. And stuff is doing this. I knew there was a problem because when I opened the door, it went woof. And I went, oh boy. And I'm listening for the freight train. You guys know what I'm talking about? That wind. It was crazy. It was crazy. Trees were down. Damage everywhere. You think a glass man would be excited. I wasn't that excited. But man, it was. And I thought, well, is the roof going to blow off? Is something going to blow off? Denise, I kept hearing her between the gusts, get down here. I'm watching Channel 2. We're heading for the basement. Is it that bad? It was that bad. Vernon and I, one time, we went to Mount Washington on the East Coast. We did one of those Thelma Louise trips together. And we're on top of Mount Washington. You say, what's significant about this place? Well, the highest recorded wind that's ever been recorded, the highest, 231 miles an hour, was recorded on top of that mountain. They have a station up there of weather people with the things and all this. And we get to the top, and there's these boulders as big as semis with these huge chains going across this building. And the chains are like the links are this big and the like 4-inch steel. And I'm going, why is this? And I'm asking somebody, well, the wind gets pretty high. I don't know if you know this. And we just don't want the building to fly off the building, you know, to be blown. I don't think it's going anywhere. You'd be surprised. That's why the chains are there. And it was only 71 miles per hour the day we were up there. That's all. So you're walking, you know. It was kind of crazy. This dome can withstand F5 tornadoes. Okay? That's 261 miles an hour. Just 30 miles more an hour than that place on Mount Washington. And why is it made out of stone? Because it's harder to move stone. It's more permanent. And so it creates a strong and solid structure. You and I, as living stones, bring stability and strength to the church. It's not just built on the foundation of faithful men and women, apostles and prophets, but early believers and every believer today, so that somebody can come here and they can be safe. I remember when we were making this, we're building this, we didn't have the doors in, and we had one of them horizontal winds. It was bad. And there were people from the neighborhood coming. We've heard this is one of the safest buildings. It's probably one of the safest buildings in Illinois because it can handle such strong winds. And when we as living stones come together, we bring stability and strength to the community, not just to each other. You matter. If you're missing, you're making the church weak. But with your presence, you make us stronger. And number three here, Jesus chooses me to build a lasting church. You know, of course, when you Google it, there's the oldest buildings on the planet are between 5 to 8,000 years old, and they're all made of stones. They're still standing. And so over the centuries, believers, like I say, through the centuries, have the church has outlasted everybody else. People have tried to destroy the church. People have tried to wipe it off the face of the earth, and they've not been able to. Why? Because Jesus said, the church I build, the gates of hell will not be able to defeat it. It'll always be around. Sometime read Daniel 2. You find out this little rock from heaven, it's referring to Jesus, not made by human hands, comes from heaven and strikes the kingdoms of the world, destroys them all. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul talks about, finally, at the end, the kingdom, God's people, will be delivered as he destroys all other authority. The church is supposed to be here, and it's supposed to stay here. Well, its lasting power depends on every living stone, even today. And number four, why does Jesus use this idea of stones? Well, I think he chooses stones and he chooses me to display his beauty. He wants to build a beautiful church. Some of the prettiest buildings are made of stone. I got a couple of pictures here. I think you all probably know this one. Is there any pictures that you're going to put on there? Maybe not. There it is, the Taj Mahal. We know that one, right? Made of stone. Beautiful. Here's another one. This is in Switzerland. It's replaced a church that was there for centuries that was destroyed in 1986, and it's made of stone. It's beautiful. This is only one of several pictures you can see online. Beautiful place. Wouldn't that be a nice, fancy place to go to church? Huh? Yeah. I wonder if that's the coffee area there. It looks like, maybe, I don't know, maybe not. But I think about this idea that just like Jesus, who showed the beauty of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, all of his glory, the church is to display the glory, the love, the character of Jesus Christ. It reflects and brings his character, his attributes, his very self to the world. So it's very important for me, it's what I've been challenged to think about is that I'm a living stone. I matter. I count. I'm important. I'm valuable. And I better. I want to be a part of building up the church. Now, because of that, since the church is described as being built by living stones, how does that influence us as a church here? Let me give you four ways I believe it influences. First, we believe here at Greater Alton that Jesus is the builder. He's the chief architect. He's in charge of the building. You know, it's not Tim's church. It's not your church, although we'll say that sometimes. It's the Lord's church. And it, just like he has a design, what he wants, it also, it's a reflection of what he believes matters and what he wants. Look again, look at what it says here. On this rock, I will build my church. It's his church. And I'm a part of it and you're a part of it. That's exciting. Look at this here in 1 Peter 2. This is the easy version of a verse we just read. It says, in the Bible, God says this, look, I've chosen a stone that is very valuable. I've chosen this stone as the most important stone for the corner of the house of Zion. Anyone who believes in him will never be disappointed. See, God has a floor plan, a blueprint for what he wants his church to be. How he want, what he thinks, what matters to him, what he wants it to do. And listen, church, we need to respect, we got to respect the designer of this place. I know that sometimes we'll set some structures and some systems in place to try to fulfill what God wants. But if he doesn't want it, we don't do it. When we get caught up in, there's the way we do it here, it better be a whisper compared to this is the way Jesus wants it here. You with me now? It's just so important, you see. He's the builder. See, we want Greater Alton Church to add the things that Jesus wants. I did some remodeling in my house years ago, and it was local contractors, and they were in charge of the project. Well, what would you like to have? And he's writing this down. Okay. And they get started, and we're doing pretty good for a while. And I finally go, you know, is it possible we could do this? He goes, no, you can't do that. Why not? It's just not going to work. We can't do that. Or he would say, that's doable. It is? Yeah. Well, let's do it. He's in charge of the project. I know we like to say the customer's always right. I know we're not always right. The contractor's in charge of the project. And we believe Jesus is in charge of this thing. And so I want you to know, as honestly, we're taking a stab at trying to figure out how to structure this church to meet this. Because it may change. They don't build houses like they used to. You say, well, yeah, thank God and okay. Because things might change along the way. We may have to format the church, be a certain, do this instead of this. Because we're a living church. We're not a cathedral. We're not a museum. So we might have to change some things with the times. And we got to get used to that. So we believe Jesus is the architect. He's the builder. And we go to him for instruction. Number two, we believe God wants every member to be active. Did you catch this verse? Look at this again. You also, like living stones, circle living. And look, he even describes it, or being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. There's a action, activity, priesthood. Circle that. Offering, I'd circle that one. Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What's he talking about here? What he's talking about is, I'm to be an active member. We expect everybody to be an active member here. Not just an attender. That makes sense? You know, some of you are filling out camp staff applications, and they're asking you, are you an active member? I've actually had people lie. What do you mean they've lied? They're not active. They're not even attending. And they're claiming to be an active member here. And I'm saying to you, is what would you consider yourself to be more of? Active or attender? Because he calls us to be living stones. Not set in our ways, but living his ways. You following me? See, some churches are just interested in filling the seats. I are one of those people. I would love to say I used to be. I still got that problem. I want every chair full. Preachers count two things, nickels and noses. Guarantee you. They're always under that contribution. I've broke the habit. I don't even know the contribution anymore. But the noses, I'm sorry, I'm still counting noses. I don't think Steve gets it right. He's the one that counts the attendance. Oh, you're off. There's the preacher count. It's good for like 30 more. But a lot of churches are into this. We've been into this. We just want to fill the seats. Jesus wants to fill the church with servants. And so a lot of churches in this idea of filling seats, they'll hire the work to be done. They'll have a staff that does 80% of the work. It's not in Scripture. In fact, if you sometime write this down, Ephesians 4, read Ephesians 4. He says that God gave prophets and teachers and all kinds of leadership for what? To prepare the saints, the Christians, for works of service. You see, I'm not really here to sit and soak. Peter says it's a priesthood. What's that mean? That's temple talk. What's that? He's not Catholic talking. He's temple, Jewish temple talking here. He's talking about a priesthood. A priest served in the temple. And every Israelite, every Jew served in the temple. So as a living stone, just like Jesus Christ, I share this responsibility of being a living stone that's chosen, and I'm important so much that I'm placed strategically in the whole scheme of God's church. He expects me to actively participate in the life of the church. So ask yourself, am I more of an attender or more of an active member? Because we still believe this. There's some things, you know, we've not got away from, okay? I'm glad. We still believe this. We believe every member is a minister here. We really still believe that. And I want you to know, the best church experience I've ever had has been when I'm involved in it, not a stranger to it. And that's one of the reasons that we have ministries here. That's one of the reasons we encourage you to serve other ministries, if you can find, if outside this church, even our community. I was with Bob Bader this week while the girls are away, while the cats are away, the mice will play. And I go, hey, Bob, what are you doing? Hey, man, I'm going to go get some fish. You want to go to a fish fry? I'll go to a fish fry with you. That's the best Bob Bader invitation I got, okay? And I said, sure. So we hop in the truck and we go to the fish fry at the KFC there on Stamper. We walk in and there's old people wall to wall. There's a few young ones, but most of them are, you're like, and you, how do you tell when you see an old person? Most of them, they heap their plate like it's their last meal, you know. We're walking, and Bob's telling me, here's how it works. Here's what, go here. We get this. We sit down, and then I'm watching Bob, and he's doing this. Hey, Bill, how you doing? Hey, Jim, it's good to see you. Hey, Kathy. And I'm like, you know all these people? I don't know anybody there. You know, I can't. The only thing I felt was I can't offend anybody because I don't know any of them. And if I don't wave at them, they'll be mad. There's nobody here to get mad at me. Pressure's off. I get my plate. I sit down. Hey, he goes over, tells this guy, come over and sit with us. And here comes four or five people. I don't even know these people. And he's talking to them like because he knows them. And I feel like a guest. And then it hit me. I'm in a bubble, church. And Bob kind of reached over and went, pop! He's out there with people. He could run for mayor. I'm not kidding. He knew everybody. Everybody knew him. They didn't know me. And so what'd he do? It's my friend Tim. Hi, Tim, Tim, Tim. He's my preacher. Oh. Don't tell him that. But I realized I'm in a bubble. I need to get out a little bit more. And I want you to know, as a church, you know, we can have this little bubble. And what we do in this bubble's good. I'm not denying that. And encourage everybody. We try to provide some opportunities in this bubble here, but there's a bigger bubble. We ought to get out. I'm trying to figure out how am I going to get out here and meet some people, some new people. I just need to make sure I got to work on this. And we encourage this. Because we don't want to be a place that's to sit, but a place to serve. Number three, we believe we are to become like Jesus. We're to become like Jesus. I mentioned earlier that stones bring out sometimes beauty in a structure. And what better way for the church to, when it's connected together, when it's working together, when it's harmonious, when it sticks together, doesn't it show the beauty of Jesus? Absolutely. Michelangelo said this. I don't know if it's up on the screen, I think. Every block of stone has a statue inside it, and it is the task of the sculptor to discover it. And then he said this. They asked him about this angel he made. He goes, I saw an angel in the marble and carved it until I set him free. I want you to know something here, that we're a living stone. What I get from this sometimes, this idea, if I'm a living stone, then things that are alive are always changing. That makes sense? So I should be anticipating God shaping and changing me as he fits me in the church. He wants to shape me. Look at it says here in the NIV again. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built. It means to be, you're fitted together into a spiritual house. You're being built. How, you know, we're not all the same size and all the same shape. Am I right? Of course. We're not bricks. We're not cookie cutter. No, some of us are different. Okay, all of us are different. Don't look at that person, but all of us are weird. We got some weird things about us. We got some strange things about us. We got some quirky thoughts. We go, am I the only person that thinks that? Maybe. Maybe not. And back then they did, you know, did they have bricks? They made bricks. Maybe they did. I don't know, but I know that what he's referring to is when you're making a house out of stone, you got rocks of different sizes and shapes. And what does the mason do? He gets a chisel out and he begins to work it, because there's some things that just aren't going to make it fit very good if it's still there. So he has to hammer a little bit, make a little noise a little bit. It has to lose some of its original identity in order for it to fit with the rest of the rocks. Where am I going with this? You know where I'm going. I'm a living stone like Jesus, and I'm to become like Jesus. That's why. We're to become like Jesus, okay, in that sense. And Peter wants every member of the church to know that not only him now, but every member, that you're also living, precious, chosen stones that are shaped like he was, again and again, to build something special. That's what discipleship really is. It's learning and imitating the character of Christ. It's bringing out the beauty of the builder. Now, I'm going to say something here. How am I going to say this? There's the guys that break rock in the penitentiary, and there's guys that break rock to shape something. One's punishing, One's rewarding. What are you trying to say, Tim? I'm saying that we can have people with hammers. God can use some of us here, or he'll, people with hammers trying to shape each other, and the motive determines what's really going to happen. Am I just here to break people up and bust them up? Or is it to shape them? And we're interested in that. I know we have some, sometimes we maybe have had some heritage where sometimes, I don't know, we were swinging away and we broke off more than we were supposed to. But I want you to know, we seek to be a church. This light right now, we seek to be this church that brings out the best in everybody. We want to be that. We want God to be able to shape all of us. But in order to do that, it might take some chipping and some hammering and some noise and not so pleasant moments. But the results, it's in the motive. It's not punishing when God's trying to bring the angel out of you. When he's trying to, when he's hammering away all the other, the habits, the rough edges, because let's face it, we don't fit sometimes very well together because we've got some rough edges that need to go. But once that begins to happen, then we're able to fit together and provide something really strong. And what is that? What is the goal? To become like Jesus Christ. That's what discipleship is really about. We still believe this. I've said it this way now. Jesus loves you enough to love you where you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay there. He still wants to chip away. He wants to change you. And if he does it, it's because he wants to set the angel inside free. That the image he made you to be all along, he wants to bring it out. Be willing to be chipped. Be willing for the hammer of God to come down on you. Because with every stroke, it is every impact, it's with the greatest of intentions to bring out what you were born and made to be by the creator of this earth. Number four, we believe Jesus fits us together to build a place of worship. I want to ask you a question. What kind of church do you want? Oh, I tell you, you ask that question. That's loaded. I want the temperature to be just right. Why did it smell like gas last week? I wish that we had more windows. I wish the sound worked better. All these are legitimate concerns I share. I don't like the songs. I don't like that song. I wish we didn't pray together. Why are we getting together and praying? Well, the early church was devoted to prayer. Well, what kind of church do you want? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus wants. Jesus wants a church that worships God. Years ago, we were in the old building. I've told this story several times. I want to hear it again. We're sitting around and the power went out. It was in the spring and we had candles lit everywhere. And I leaned over and I said, Robert, it looks like we're a bunch of saint worshipers. And he kicks right back, goes, well, in about 3 minutes, it's going to be obvious who we worship. And it was. I want to ask, is it obvious who we worship? I'm not talking about, do you sing loud? Not everybody can sing loud. Not everybody sings. Not everybody gets crazy. I get that. I don't think you're required to jump up and down and, you know, lose your upper plate to try to sing louder than everybody. That's not required here. But I'm asking, it's not just the singing and the praying and the hearing of the, and the giving and the, and putting money in the place. Worship. I've tried to figure out, what is worship? Well, it's bowing. Yeah. I heard a definition said this way that helped me. Worship is giving God my full attention. Whenever I give God my attention, I'm worshiping. It's obvious. Why? Because I'm focused on what His words say, what His desires are, what His plans reveal. I'm after that. See, nowadays churches are scrambling to give what the public is wanting. Why you go to that church? Well, they offer this and they offer that, and I'm going there because they offer this too. Boy, oh boy, it's so easy to get sucked into that. Well, Alan, how many times have we talked about this? Gary, we've talked about how many times have we sat around the table going, man, it's just, how do you balance between seeker sensitive and seeker driven? And when does it become so driven that, well, what's the public want that, or versus we need to be sensitive to that. Maybe there's, because I want to be a church that meets real needs, that meets people's needs, okay? But somewhere in this idea of being the church we need to be, it's not about what's being offered to me, but what am I offering to God and to the rest of the people here, to my neighbors, to my coworkers. It's about that, isn't it? That's what priests do. They serve. They offer sacrifices to God. They're offering to God what? Worship. And I don't want to be driven. If I'm going to be driven by something, I want to be driven, and I want you to be driven, church, to give yourself, to offer what people need. I love it. Ephesians 2 here says, what a foundation you stand on now. Let's think about it. We stand on the foundation right now, and what a foundation it is. The apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone of the building is Jesus Christ himself. He who believes are carefully joined together with Christ as parts of a beautiful, constantly growing temple for God. And you also are joined with him and with each other by the Spirit. Oh my gosh. And are part of this dwelling place of God. I don't want anybody to leave Greater Alton Church. It hurts me every time it happens, whether we carry them out in a box or they get in their car. But I'll tell you something, I do not want to see who I do never want to see leave. And that's the Lord. I want us to be a place where God can go, I'm at home. I can relax. This is my place. This is my house. This is my building. These are my people. And how does that happen? Oh, when we accept our role as living stones, accept the great mason of life as he chips away and changes us and then fits us in a particular spot. We may not like it sometimes. We may go, why here? I need you here. You know, I just want to be a part of it. Put me wherever you want now. Boom. Oh my goodness. I'm a part of this. Look down. There's Peter. Look down there. Well, there's the prophets. There's Jesus right over there. I'm a part of this? You sure you chose? I chose you. Some of you here feel like little pebbles. God chose you. He wants you. He needs you. We're a better place because of you. Some of us need to start thinking like that. Quit acting like we're nothings. We're that significant. Look at this picture. I got a picture I took of my cell phone. That's a pile of rocks. It's still there, by the way. All of them, every one of those is still there, and they haven't moved. That used to be my retaining wall and at my house, and notice something. They're together. Right? They're all together. But they're not connected. And it's kind of ugly, isn't it? You know how many times I've heard Denise, when are you going to get rid of that? When are you going to move that? I know, honey, I'm on it. Well, it doesn't seem like it. It's an eyesore. An eyesore! And I go, yeah. Now look at this next one. That's what it looks like when they're together. Isn't that pretty? And it's solid. It's doing its job. It's what it's supposed to be. That's at my house. I got landscapers that have been working on this for a year. I know, maybe I didn't choose wisely, but there they are. They got that wall up, and look how pretty, and they're all fitted together. I watched the guy putting this together. He was an old man. First I thought he was slow. He's sitting there with a block and he's going tap, 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 level it, tap, 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 tap. Then he picks it up, tap, tap, puts it back, tap, 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 tap. I think it takes him 20 minutes to do one block. But there's the results. I like the results. This is the difference. Go back to that back picture. Can you go back up one? There's what we can be. Or we can be that. I like that. And that's what Jesus wants us to be. I believe he wants us to be fitted together. Oh, they sawed a bunch of them. They were chipping on them. They were doing all kinds of things. And it's just gorgeous when everybody is fitted together. You see, here at Greater Alton, I'm still believing this. We believe in diversity. Now, I know that word can get a lot of people nervous. Am I right? I'm not talking about, oh, you can do that sin and you can do that sin and we'll be just fine. No, we're not talking about that kind of diversity. I'm saying that some of you here have a different personality than other people. Some of you are quiet, sneaky. You listen. You make less poor choices. While some of us are loud and we're crazy and we'll say anything that is in our head and we get in lots of trouble. We're the life of the party and you're cleaning up afterwards our mess. And there's times when I've thought to myself, well, the only way we're going to ever grow is we got to have these crazy outgoing people. Jesus says, no, Tim, that's not going to work. Why? Because there's different personalities. I want all kinds of, like body parts, like stones. They're all different shapes. They're all different sizes. I want that diversity here. I don't want it to be limited to just colors of stones, but to allow types of personalities to be fit together. See, I'm married to a quieter person. Thank God. And she would say, I'm married to a loud person. Thank God. Well, you know what I'm saying? It's like, but because of that combination, it's, we fit together over the years. I was listening to We've Only Just Begun, the Carpenters. And I started bawling because that was what was sung as we're walking out of our wedding. And it's the whole life ahead of us. And, you know, a kiss for luck and we're on our way. Man. But boy, that way was opposites. If you marry somebody like you, you will kill yourself. But that fitting together is what brings strength, stability, lasting power, security, and it builds the church that God wants. And I just want to encourage you to think about how we all fit together and that we stick together by the bond of God's love. We want to be a place where God lives. We want to be a place where God is honored. This last verse, I just think it's interesting that Peter starts this way. Come to Jesus. He is the living stone. Why are you ending the lesson with this verse? It's Peter saying it. Remember what happened to him? Betrayed, you know, denied Christ not once, but three times. And they had to go find him. Come to Jesus, Peter. Oh, what's he going to do to me? No, come. You can look forward to what he's going to do to you. Peter feels like a useless piece of rock, a little pebble. And he says, come to the living stone. He learned, come to the living stone. Why? Because I did, and I'm glad I did. How do I start? What's that look like? Well, maybe for some of us, it's opening the Bible up with somebody. You start there. For some of us, we've opened the Bible up. It's time to get baptized. What are you waiting for? Come on. Or maybe it's, I've been baptized, but you know, Tim, I just don't feel that. I'm just not, what can I bring? What can I offer? You've been chosen by God. He sees value in you. You fail to see. He wants you to be a part of his church. He needs you. You're useful. And with you, we're stronger. We're beautiful. We're so much better. And maybe that's all it takes, a decision. Maybe on your card, I'm going to open the Bible up with somebody. I need to open up the Bible. I need to be baptized. Or I just need to rededicate my life and ask God, fit me in somewhere and get me connected. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to close this out in a prayer, and then the lesson is yours. God bless you this beautiful Sunday day. Enjoy the afternoon. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for choosing and sending your son to us. We're so grateful that he's alive. They tried to kill him, but he's alive. He's the first and living stone of Greater Alton Church. And Father, thank you for choosing us. You know, sometimes I feel, others here feel insignificant, wondering why would you want to use someone like us? Oh God, would you help us believe you have chosen us? That in your eyes, we matter. That you want to use each of us to build a place that worships, that serves, to build a place, a house, Father, you can dwell in. I have to admit, Father, sometimes I can be stubborn. I'm sure some of us here, we could say we've been stubborn. Our hearts are at times hard as rock, but we trust your hands to free us, to free the angel inside us. We ask and we trust you, Father. We ask for more trust, and we ask you to shape each of us like you want. And Father, would you carefully fit us? Help us find that place you're wanting to fit us together to build your church today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
In the calm of your presence, I am listening, Lord. I am still. I am quiet. I am yours. In